Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. Welcome, my little pretties, to a new episode of the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with A.P. Fuchs. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. So tune in, listen in. Here we go. So I was thinking about backwoods horror. I have a soft spot for it. I like this idea, like stuff like Cabin in the Woods and even The Hills Have Eyes. I mean, like this idea of driving down back road, you know, through, you know, going through the forest, you're in some sort of rickety vehicle, and then all of a sudden, you know, either monsters or bandits or whatnot, you know, infiltrate, you know, and they grab the crowd of people in the car and they take them to like a cabin somewhere, and of course they inflict all sorts of torture and mind games and all this craziness, and you know, the gore level is pretty intense. It's usually very leaky. That is, you could see, you know, blood gush out, guts blush out, or gush out, and all this stuff. Or when people get shot, there's brains everywhere. Like, it's just, it's intense horror, and it takes place in these environments that are so run down and dirty and cracked and rusted. And, you know, it's this place where, like, you just, as a person, even just, like, monsters aside for a second, location-wise, you just don't want to be there. It's just an ugly place to be. You know, it's uncomfortable. It smells funky. You know, it's weird. And then you throw in the monster factor or the killer factor, and of course, you're up for like a real trip, right? And so, yeah, but I have a soft spot for these stories. I don't know why that is. I think maybe, you know, on a previous episode, I talked about like my fear of dark forests. You know, typically in these movies, the abduction event takes place during the daytime. So maybe it's sort of this strange way of me taking that fear of dark forests, but yet somehow enjoying the fear in the daylight. It's, I don't know, because when you watch horror movies, like a lot of people, you watch it for the thrills and chills and the scares, right? And you get your adrenaline rush, and some cases, if you're really into it, your dopamine starts going, you know, your feel good chemical, right? And your brain is all lit up and it's, and all that stuff. So maybe, I don't know, maybe my brain is doing some weird thing where it's taking like an actual genuine fear and then turning into something enjoyable. I don't know, the brain's a messed up place. I mean, that's why I write zombie books, right? Show off the messed up part of myself. anyway, yeah. But yeah, backwards horror type stuff. So yeah, like I recommend it. I read a book and it taught me a lot. By Ryan C. Thomas, called The Summer I Died. I ended up publishing it under Coscom Entertainment's imprint back when Coscom Entertainment was a traditional publisher. And I also published a sequel to it called Born to Bleed. But that first book, The Summer I Died, I read it as a submission first, and then I read it later on as a publisher slash editor going to do the edits for it and whatnot. So I had to do it twice. And to be honest, I mean, it's a really good book, but it's hyper intense. It's super, super chilling. It's super disgusting in a way that is appealing to horror fans. It's basically extreme horror. But what that book did is it developed me as a writer. And it showed me a way to have these kind of graphic scenes, you know, in regards to like gore and torture and harming another person, but doing it in such a way where it's not like gore porn, you know what I mean? It's not like that. It's not meant to be that way. It's just a way to, it's almost done tastefully, even though it's horribly disgusting. It's yeah, sort of it functions on a weird level of kind of irony in that context, But it taught me how to do that, and I ended up taking that sort of lesson and applying it to a story I wrote. It's a novelette. It's a digital download you can get online at Kindle and all the other places. It's called Undeniable, and it's a story of faith, actually, but it's to do with there's extreme torture going on in that storyline that happens to between a father and a son, and these choices they have to make after an abduction. And I recommend checking it out. Again, it's called Undeniable by A.P. Fuchs. It's digital only. There's no paper version of it. I thought about maybe making a little booklet type idea with it, but that remains to be seen. In the interim, download it and check it out. I think I have it on for cheap, so please support, why not? But anyway, so backwoods horror, scary stuff. Anyway, moving on, creatively, I started this a long time ago, and it's a horror comic. I wrote it out in a notebook, just these like loose, crude stick figure drawings, and some scripting, like just a line here or there. Even one of the pages in the notebook has like sticky notes as the page to tell me what I got to do. But I ended up doing some pages. I did like 15 or something pages of this thing. And if you're tuning in on YouTube, even you can see it on the camera. I mean, there's the beginning opening, with the guy there in the creepy chair and the creepy outfit welcoming you to the show, so to speak. And it goes on, with these pages of blood and guts and people getting ripped apart and this sort of stuff. And it's a cool comic, and I wanted to release it in the tradition of old like those EC comics, the old horror investigative style comic book thing. And that was the plan. And then what happened was I got to a page where these detectives were investigating a murder, and it was a werewolf scenario, and the werewolf ends up tearing someone in half, and I just couldn't draw it. I tried and I tried and I tried, panel after panel, the same portion of the story, and just my brain to my hand, it just didn't click. So I don't know. I got to revisit that, because the majority of the book is done. It's intentionally in black and white. I'm gonna do some grayscale coloring on the computer prior to the printing process, but it's a work in progress, and I think I'm coming to a place where I could handle doing that scene that's giving me so much trouble. So look out for that. I don't have a date as to a release yet. I have to clean the pages up. You got to scan them. You got to do all sorts of things prior to printing a comic. There's a lot that goes into comics. I found personally there's actually more that goes into comics than goes into making a book, just in terms of the behind the scenes stuff and getting things ready for press, so anyway, horror comics and then backwards horror we were talking about earlier. So this has been like a horror episode, but anyway, enough of that. Let's get into story time. That's why you're here. So relax, grab a beer, grab a coffee, grab a pop, or a soda, as you guys call it in the States. And grab one, settle in, and have a listen. Episode 11, Andy. Let me tell you about Andy. Andy has a secret, and I'm not talking about he's got a few thousand bucks hidden under his mattress one. He's fairly unassuming, to be sure. Black hair, blue eyes. He's around 5'10" or 11", average build, so far as I could see anyway, though I've never seen the guy with the shirt off. He says he works the assembly line at the kitchen cabinet place. Goes to work, comes home, feeds the dogs, falls asleep most nights watching TV. Again, so he says. But 2 weeks ago, he and I were downtown grabbing a late-night beer. Andy doesn't drink. I had my Fort Garry dark. He had a Coke. I had two darks, in fact.
he just stuck with the one Coke. It was when the UFC match on the big screen behind us suddenly switched over to a hotel fire not far from the pub we were at that Andy was seeing it. He immediately turned around in his chair, eyes glued to the set, and he and I both watched as it was reported the top three floors were ablaze and people were trapped. Below, at the foot of the hotel, fire trucks and emergency workers were already on the scene. You couldn't quite see what they were doing from the camera angle, but it was clear they were working out a plan. I looked at Andy. His eyes were glazed with tears, and I knew he couldn't stand to see helpless innocents in a place where at any moment they'd be burned alive. Andy looked over to me, glanced down at my beer, and told me to finish up while he went to the restroom. I wasn't sure what to say other than, okay, and watched as he headed to the back of the pub and turned the corner to where the bathrooms were. I'd been to those bathrooms and knew at the end of the hall there was a back door. I looked at the TV set, and about 10 seconds later, a green human-shaped blur flew in and crashed through the hotel's fiery windows. One by one, a man in a mask wearing a green and gray bodysuit flew the trapped people down to ground level. The flying man had black hair. No one knew his name, and no one had coined one for him. I looked at Andy's Coke. I looked at my beer. I looked back up at the screen and saw numerous people had been rescued and the flying man was gone. Less than half a minute later, Andy made his way back to our table. He said he was tired and we should probably call it a night because he had to get up early for work. We paid our bill. Andy picked up the tip. He and I parted ways just outside the pub's door, and as he turned to head to his car, I noticed a smudge of ash on the back of his neck. Andy had a secret.
Thanks for sticking around to the end of the episode. I'm here to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. Nah, kidding. All right, anyway. I'm going to tell you really briefly, and we're going to talk about it in depth in a future episode. But we've done like a lot of horror stuff this episode. So basically, we're going to talk about Jack the Ripper. I have a huge attraction to that lore and mythos. And it's a fascinating story in terms of all that was involved with those murders that have yet to be solved. And I've read theories, all sorts of things, and books published by people, and I have a compendium, you know, Jack the Ripper A to Z. It's historically based, it's in alphabetical order, all these evidence items and people and interviews and things like that. And we're going to definitely get into that at a future episode. So that's going to be what I'm going to leave you off. This is a little teaser. And that is, we're going to one day look into Jack the Ripper.